UFP, the United Federation of Podcasts.
Franchise Fatigue, the little podcast on the United Federation of Podcast Network, where your hosts go through movies, remakes, and sequels and discuss them for you. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, is my ever-constant co-host, Zach Moore. Zach, how you doing?
Doing all right, Brandon. I was used to the major league lifestyle, and now I'm just getting used to the minor league lifestyle.
I'm having a bit of trouble understanding you there. Your broken English is really bad. Do you think we can get somebody to give us some subtitles here?
You know, that's interesting, because I'm speaking English, and you're saying you're seeing English subtitles under
me?
Yeah.
No, I need to see English subtitles.
Oh, because you're speaking English. I'm seeing Japanese subtitles under you. It's very strange.
Fascinating.
What a strange joke that was.
That is the weirdest joke I've ever seen in my life, that joke. Like, why did they do that? At first, I thought they were like, okay, people can't understand this character, so we better subtitle it. But then they put the Japanese subtitles.
But then they pay it off at the end where he speaks Japanese and they say something about Mount Fuji.
We think.
Hilarious.
Bizarre. Anyways, just in case you guys don't know, we are finishing up our Major League trilogy with Major League Back to the Minors. And I think we're going to have some fun today. We're going to have some fun discussing this because we like baseball, don't we, Zach?
We love baseball. I can think of no one who likes baseball more than you, Brandon.
You love baseball movies.
I love movies, and I love baseball, and I love baseball movies. So basically, these are franchises made for me.
Captain Archer's in this?
So it's made for you.
It's made for me? Is this an Enterprise time travel episode or a Quantum Leap episode?
This is definitely a Quantum Leap episode.
Dr. Sam Beckett has to go back in time and fix the baseball team.
Now, I know you love Enterprise. I love it. But Quantum Leap, aside like jokes and stuff, did you ever watch Quantum Leap?
I saw a few episodes. I didn't watch it a lot, but I enjoyed it when I did watch it. I've seen maybe like 5 episodes or 6 episodes.
It's a show I remember watching when I was a kid. Like, cause it was just on TV around the same time as Next Generation, all that, you know, early 90s. And then it's one that's in pop culture. People know the whole deal. And actually, I got it on Blu-ray recently on sale. I want to revisit it at some point because I watched some of it and it was on Hulu, I think, back a few years ago, and I watched some of it, and I rewatched the pilot not too long ago. And in the second part of the 2-part pilot, he jumps into the body of a baseball player. He's an old pitcher. I'm funny. Like, that was, is this movie like, it's, anyway, it's interesting. And yeah, Scott Bakula's great. He brings so much charm to anything, and I think he elevates what would otherwise been just not a great movie. And I will say, going into it, I liked it more than I thought I would and remember this time around as well. So we'll have an interesting discussion, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Quantum Leap had the same amount of episodes as Enterprise?
I mean, that's the curse of Scott Bakula right there. What is CSI New Orleans? How many?
I don't know.
Is it going to get caught after 110 episodes? I'm sorry, 98. That's what it is, right?
90,
it's like, come on, Enterprise, you couldn't... Oh, 97. They couldn't have squeezed out, like, a couple more, a couple get more. To 100? Come on.
Maybe Enterprise was 98. You know what? He did say that maybe Enterprise had 98 and Quantum Leap had 97. I think Enterprise actually had one more episode.
Well, so now we know CSI New Orleans will be 99.
There you go. There you go. Should we jump into our trivia on Major League Back to the Minors?
That's right. Not Major League 3. We'll talk about that too in the trivia.
We should get that guy from The Matrix to do it. Back to the Minors.
Yeah. Let's do that. So, Major League Back to the Minors. Not a lot of trivia on this, to be honest. So, best I can tell, one of the producers for the previous film, James G. Robertson, wanted to make another Major League movie. But for some reason, they did not include David S. Ward, who had been the creative force, writer, director of the previous two. And I couldn't really figure out any kind of like falling out. I don't know exactly how this came to be, right? But this is 1998, this film comes out, which is 4 years after Major League Two. So you don't have a lot of the same people behind the camera or in front of the camera. In fact, Roger Dorn, Pedro Serrano, Duke Temple, and Harry Doyle are the only characters to appear in all three of the Major League films.
Mm-hmm.
So shot in South Carolina. This is shot in the fall of 1997. All of the night scenes were made to look as though the games were being played during hot summer nights when the temperatures were actually in the 30s. So it was actually the reverse problem of the first film when they had to act like, I would rather have this problem where like you're cold and you act like it's hot. Can you imagine being like 95 degrees? You have to wear jackets and stuff like the guys in the first film. That's insane. So opposite production issue there. And the South Carolina buzz, which, in case people weren't sure, that's where this movie takes place. They were actually the Salt Lake Buzz, which was the Pacific Coast League farm team of the Minnesota Twins. So that is true. They were formerly the Portland Beavers, but the franchise moved to Utah in 1994 and had seven straight winning seasons.
Okay. And that's good that you said that, though, because I was really confused. Like, I knew the Cleveland Indians was not an appropriate name, but I'm like, this is a really strange change for the name here to jump to the Cleveland Buzz.
They were ahead of the times. You know, when they renamed the Indians, they should have just named them the Cleveland Buzz. That would have been perfect, right? That would have made. I can find no reasoning why this is not connected to the other movies either. It's like Roger Dorn, right? Q2, Corbin Burnson. He was the owner of the Indians. But then he's somehow become the owner of the Twins, and yet he's listening to a manager when he should be the boss. So all this is very confusing, I think. But let me tell you,
as a person that doesn't know baseball, I didn't get that any of that was confusing.
it may have been less sense to me who knows how it should work. And then seeing it like this was even more confusing to you who probably didn't understand, period.
See, my headcanon was that he was just so successful managing the Cleveland Indians that he just bought another team.
I can see why you think that. That is highly irregular in sports. Sometimes you'll have owners of teams from multiple sports. You know, like, oh, you have a guy that owns an NBA team who also owns an NHL team, for example. Mm-hmm. But no one owns multiple teams in the same sport, as far as I know.
Okay.
But further on the Salt Lake Buzz, right? In 2001, the team became a part of the Anaheim Angels organization under the name Salt Lake Stingers. And then
that's way better name than the Salt Lake Buzz.
Yeah, right. But now, since 2006, the team is now called the Salt Lake Bees.
That's go back to the Stingers, man. Just
there you go. So that is the name. Oh, no, it's so funny. You talk about the Indians. I didn't expect all this name, you know, trivia to come from this team. I just assume they made this team up. But apparently they really did exist, so there you go.
I would have thought that too. So,
there are some interesting other baseball movies or life connections to this one. As I mentioned when we were talking there, Scott Bakula, right? His character here, Gus, was a pitcher kind of at the end of his career, right? And then in the two part pilot for Quantum Leap, Genesis was the title of that episode. Sam Beckett, his character in that show, leaped into the body of an aging minor league pitcher, tossing the last game of his career. Okay. So it's like somebody was watching Quantum Leap and then got this idea. I swear. Now when Gus asked Rube, the catcher who showed up in the second movie, weren't you in the San Diego Padres organization? In The Fan, the actor Eric Bruscotter played a catcher for the Padres. The Fan from 1996, which also starred Wesley Snipes, the original Willie Mays Hayes. So again, the Major League Cinematic Universe, the multiverse. It's good stuff. And then in Roger Dorn's owner suite for the Twins, you see a number 4 Lou Collins jersey hanging in a case. That is a reference to a character from Little Big League, which came out in 94. It's when the little kid breaks his arm and he has a really fast fastball.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a reference to that character as well. So that's fun, I thought. And Walton Goggins, who plays Downtown, and Kenny Johnson, who plays the ballerina... I forgot his name, but they would both go on to star in The Shield and Sons of Anarchy together.
Ooh. His name is Lance the Dance.
There it is. There it is. Oh, and Kenny Johnson, that actor, not only, Brandon, was he in your favorite movie of all time, Blade. He was in the opening sequence of the guy who gets taken to the underground vampire party. He was also in an episode of Smallville. Man. So, hashtag it's all connected.
Love it.
Now, so the twins, the Juan Lopez twins, right? They're twins in the film, but get this, they were actually played by triplets.
Yeah, I caught that in the end credits.
That's bizarre. I don't know why. But so Juan Lopez, number one, was played by both Tim and Tom DeFilippo, and Juan Lopez, number two, was played by Ted DeFilippo.
Yeah, when you got it, that's the funny thing, too, on that one there. Like, when you have identical twins, and you just walk up to one and says, you're number one and number two, you're not going to know that next time you walk up to them.
Right.
So.
And it could cause serious psychological damage as well. So.
Sure.
But I don't understand that at all. Like, why? Yeah. Why would you have three? Good for them. Triplets. I mean, that's great. But why would you get triplets to play twins, and then actually switch out a third guy for one character? Like, this is bizarre. Like,
yeah,
I just don't understand. I've never seen anything like that.
See, I noticed that at the beginning when they were going through credit at the beginning, I saw that there was two names, like Ted and Tom. Like, right like that. But in the end credits, I saw that there's three names for the two. But I didn't notice the third name in the opening credits.
Right.
So they must not have used them as much.
Must have been a stunt double. Well, the guy that could actually play baseball, maybe. Who knows? So
what I just assumed it was they got the twins to play the one, and the other brother wasn't an identical twin with them, so it would look different.
Well, they're triplets, so I don't... That's bizarre. I defy anyone to find a similar situation in any film. So
yeah, strange.
So this film had a budget of $18 million. It made $3.6 million.
Was it actually hit the theaters?
Yeah. Oh,
I thought this was direct-to-video, man.
That's all you need to know right there. That's all you need. It really does feel like a direct-to-video, doesn't it? That's hilarious, Brandon.
Yeah. I totally thought this was direct-to-VHS.
Nope. It went to movie theaters, and it would be the last Major League movie. Now, they're apparently working on a TV show for this, which actually is not a bad idea, right?
You know what? I was going to say, I would like to see this team as a TV show.
This team? Okay. Not the Cleveland Indians?
No.
No? Okay.
No. This one here. That was going to be my thing for next episode.
Now, what's funny is, it's funny you say that about the going straight to TV. So Bob Uecker, who does appear again, in this film as the broadcaster, he was talking to this movie about his broadcasting partner in the broadcasting booth, and when the partner said he hadn't seen the movie, Bob Uecker told him, "Well, don't. That movie was so bad that it opened in airplanes the week we finished it." So that was his opinion. And then finally, I quit a little bit this last time in the trivia for David S. Ward did an interview with ESPN celebrating Major League for its anniversary. And ESPN asked him, so there is a third Major League film, which you were not part of, centered on a minor league affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. What's that about? And David S. Ward said, yeah, it was difficult. In fact, I didn't see that movie for the longest time. I couldn't bring myself to watch it until I was on an airplane, which is funny because so Bob Uecker said about being on airplanes. They were showing it on my flight, and I said, oh, God, I can't get away from this thing, so I watched it. I guess that was strange to me. They called it Major League, even though it was about a minor league team affiliated with the Twins. It really had nothing to do with the Indians, and I'm sort of glad it didn't, because to me, it's not a part of the Major League franchise at all.
Interesting.
So, and so they go on to talk about what his plans for Major League 3 would have been. You know how we joke about like them winning the World Series and all the Indians in the third film. This is what David S. Ward had to say. Quote, well, part of the setup in the third movie is that they did make it to the World Series and at the end of Major League 2, but lost when Wild Thing gave up a walk-off homer in the seventh game and he just retires from baseball. Even though he's older, he's coming back to mentor a young fireballing reliever that they have. They also need a setup man, and Eddie Harris, who was the old guy in the first movie, the pure butt Joe Lou, that guy, he teaches Wild Thing to throw junk because he doesn't have a heater anymore. He does setup work while he's mentoring the fireballer. That's the Wild Thing. I was just still Charlie Sheen. They're not a hopeless team. They are in contention, but they can't seem to get over the top. I don't think we could go back to having the team be a hopeless team. You have to do something different. So the big thing in the movie is that he finds out that this young fireballer that went to Harvard doesn't want to be mentored. He has a degree in biomechanics, and he feels he knows everything there is to know about pitching. It turns out that it's Ricky Vaughn's illegitimate son for one of his many romantic romances while he was a young man about town in Cleveland, and the kid hates him. There you go. So in the tradition of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and Star Trek II, right around, surprise sons in these movies. So there you go. That's what the original idea for Major League 3 would have been, the proper Major League 3, according to the writer-director of the first film.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I thought that was weird. Like, so jump into this movie. This is the first time I've seen it, obviously. But I'm like, this is not connected in any way to the other film until, like, those two baseball players come in near the middle of the movie. And I'm like, man, this is very, very, very strange. Like, I assumed that maybe it was they recasted Charlie Sheen with Scott Bakula or something like that.
Doesn't it feel that way? Like you mentioned directed to video. It's like, oh, they couldn't get Tom Berenger back, so now it's Scott Bakula or something, right? Some character.
Yeah.
And then the only connection is Roger Dorn is Corbin Benson, right? But he's not even like, why do you own the Twins and not the Indians? So it's like, you know how Red Sonja is like a Conan movie but it's not like Arnold's in it, basically is Conan, but he's not like,
yeah.
That's what this feels like, right?
Yes. But you know what? Let's start this discussion from this point here. I loved this movie.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this movie. Okay.
Here we are.
So I don't know. The characters really hit it off for me. Maybe it's just because it's Scott Bakula and I like Scott Bakula. I haven't actually seen Scott Bakula in a lot of movies and stuff, but I really liked him in this movie. And the idiosyncrasies of the characters really hit it off for me. At first, when the catcher was on and he was the same catcher from the last movie, and he, like, still suddenly can't throw again. I'm like, oh, dear, are they just going to play the same lame jokes? One of my favorite jokes in it was when Scott Bakula was like, that was my soft speech to him, right? And he's like, if you don't start throwing straight, you're fired.
It's like, hey, so do you have any other skills? Like, can you put a table together or build a car? He's like, no, I can't. It's like, so baseball's all you can do? Okay, we better figure it out, or you're going to have to go get a how-to book. That was pretty good. Scott Bakula undoubtedly has a charm that helps carry this movie. And let's see, I was on the fence about some stuff, so let's see if you can win me over during this conversation, if it's better than Major League 2 or not. But I will say, there are some funny jokes in this. Like, I think one of my favorite jokes was when they got Doc. Speaking of Scott Bakula, he's like, what's up, Doc? And then he, like, stops, like, oh, that was a funny moment. But this guy, he throws so slow, and he has this pedometer, Bakula, and he's like, it's not showing up. And the catcher's like, oh yeah, I got it used from the highway patrol. It doesn't register anything under 55. It's like under 55. That was hilarious. And then it actually does play in later when they bring him in, to a game, and he's so slow, the guy can't adjust the speed to it. That's actually good logic too, because there are people that throw like, knuckleballs and weird pitches like that, get people off their rhythm. And so that actually was pretty smart. So
yes, I thought that was really good too, and I thought it was really funny when they showed him pitching and they just basically filmed it in slow motion, right? Like,
yeah,
he's like that slow. They're like, throw your fastball already, and they're like, that is his fastball.
Yeah, that is his fastball. Yeah. So,
So I thought the characters were very charming in this movie, and I really liked how the Lance the Dance character. I thought that was funny that he came from a ballerina background. Right. And used it as like a way to get into sports because he was like able to leap and jump and whatnot over the he jumped over the catcher that one time and to score a run. But I actually cared about these characters. I cared about the catcher who couldn't throw when Scott Bakula was like, you're going to be fired if you can't change your ways. I cared about Scott Bakula as a manager because he seemed like a very calm and reasonable manager. He seemed like he knew exactly what he was doing. He was the perfect man for the job. He's a well-defined character.
There is a lot more baseball and like baseball logic,
yes,
and managing this than there has been in the other two. Right, so I did respect that.
This felt like a baseball movie. This one really felt like a baseball movie because they're playing baseball all the time.
Speaking of Scott Bakula, right? I guess she became his wife. I thought they were already married. I wasn't really sure, but to your point about made-for-TV. That actress did seem like a made-for-TV Rene Russo, right? Even her hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm like, is that Rene Russo? I'm like, oh, no, wait, that's the chick from Friday the 13th, Part 8.
Yes, yes. And I looked her up on that. I'm like, oh, I bet Brandon recognizes her from these movies. So
yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, you're right. Like, there was way more baseball in this movie, and that's what I enjoyed about this. And I think that's why I love this movie so much, is because it was a baseball-oriented film. And they're playing multiple games in here. And they've got this rivalry between the two teams, which was a totally believable rivalry.
A rivalry between their major league affiliate, which is very, which is very strange, because, like, you understood the whole major minor league situation, right? So, what was weird is that Roger Dorn, who for some reason again owns the Twins now, not the Indians, but he's like being subservient to this manager when technically the manager should work for him.
Yeah.
You know, and also like the manager never wearing a hat was annoying. Like, you're supposed to wear a hat. Okay. And he never wears a hat. And I guess it's because like he's very vain and doesn't want to mess up his hair. That's the only thing I can assume. That was just odd to me. And this would like, this would never happen in real life. But you know what? I give them credit that it's a different story than the other ones. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like having them. Maybe that was part of the reason, like, oh, well, the Indians were like our hero team in the first two. We can't make them like the villains, but the Twins, who cares about them? We can make them a villain. Right. And the Indians and the Twins are in their same division. Now they're in the AL Central, by the way. So, that was them playing at the, you know, the Twin Stadium at the time. They play in a different stadium now. They play at Target Field. That was the Hubert F. Humphrey Metrodome that they played at. But that was the real place. And then, you know, turning off the lights, I was like, damn. so they tied the game. I really think they would have come back. You don't watch the Super Bowl, Brandon, I assume.
No.
Okay. This happened in the Super Bowl about 10 years ago, as of this recording anyway. The Niners and the Ravens were playing each other, and there was a blackout.
Wow.
During the game. And they turned the lights back on and they finished. But that was the Super Bowl, so I figure that's why, you know, they did. Like, this is just a random weird exhibition game. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting. And but then at the end, like, Scott Bakula, he doesn't even want the job.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I would have taken the job.
Would you?
I absolutely would have taken the job.
I don't know. See, it seemed believable to me because he's like, I'm where I need to be. I'm training these guys. He knows what he's doing. He's having a good time. He's in it for the love of the sport. And what I saw in the Minnesota team in this was you got a bunch of people who don't care about the team anymore and they don't care about the sport. They care about themselves. That's what the whole Minnesota team was about, right? And so he's got this one young player on his team, the what do they call him?
Downtown,
who wants to get up there, but he's not ready. He's telling him, you're not ready yet, you're not ready. And he's got enough ego. Downtown has enough ego that he thinks that Scott Bakula's character is just jealous of him, right? And so he wants to get up there. And the other guy only wants to bring him because he needs a publicity stunt to get the attention away from the tie game. You know, like, so it's all about egos once you get to the big leagues. And here, it's just like you're just in the lower rungs of the sport, but it's where people still love the game. I like that a lot. I don't know. I just, that really hit, that really worked for me.
Well, I think if the other manager, Huff, right, the Twins manager, if he hadn't been like such a like over the top dumb comedic villain, you know, I would have probably liked it a little better. It's like, this guy's just an idiot.
Yeah. See, the woman owner from the first movie, I liked her in the first movie. I didn't like her when she came back and just did the same thing in the second movie, right? So what are they going to do for this one here? Like, how are they going to make it different from the other one? And it seemed very interesting to me that these two managers would have this rivalry.
I mean, that makes sense in sports. And then because they're part of the same organization, it makes it a little more connected, right? Because you, like, if you were just a rival with another team, you only play them a certain amount of times a season, but there's no like escaping your, you know, and then him calling up their star player is kind of a cheap shot too, you know, because it makes their team worse, you know, and that does happen when he leaves and goes up and he comes back. I thought that was pretty good when he came back down. He's like, hey, you know, tell me that you told me so before. He's like, oh, well, we're just gonna move on now. I'm like, that's Scott Bakula, good manager, man. So you like him better than the other manager now, because the other manager was like your favorite manager in sports.
They're very different managers though, right? So they're both good, they're both calm, And they both manage in their own way, right? But which one do I like better? I don't know. Probably Scott Bakula because I like Scott Bakula a lot.
Right. But right. Mostly just and you see him actually, like, you know, trading these flares like, with baseball common sense. Like downtown, right? He's like, hey, you need to learn how to hit the ball here. He's like, why would I do that? He's like, well, once you get up there, they're going to start pitching this way. And that's exactly what they did, right? So, right. like, you need – this stuff makes sense. And, you know a character who I did like in this who didn't have as much to do as I would hope, but, like, Pops, you know, the older guy. And it's funny because when he picked him up from the airport or whatever, I was like, is this a man? Who is this guy? He's old. And then they're like, oh, he's a player?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was just the old manager.
Yeah, he's like the assistant manager or something, right? And the mascot was funny too. Like, oh, we'll move. He's sitting in the back with the mascot head and the mask. The guy's driving. Yeah, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna have to move you to first base because you're too old or too fat. And he's like, too okay.
Yeah,
okay, take. But I liked him too. I never liked the catcher much. You were saying like, oh, I liked the catcher from the last movie. Like, I never liked him anyway. But he was part of it. He's part of a couple of my favorite gags. Like I said, the whole speedometer thing. Mm-hmm. And then one of my other favorite gags is when they bring in Tanaka and Serrano show up. We'll talk about them in a second. But like, they're doing the whole like wearing like hoods and stuff, and not like and like when he's talking to him and Tanaka throws the ball at Serrano, and he just catches it. It was hilarious that he just caught it without looking at it. That was so funny. And then of course the catcher tries it and he just gets knocked out and falls over. That was pretty funny. But. So maybe, yeah. Honestly, I think I do like that dumb catcher better in this movie than the last one.
And then the joke when he throws it at the bee, and the bee just gives him the almost hits the bee, and the thing, and he gives him the finger.
Well, there was some funny stuff here.
I laughed in this movie more than I did in the other two combined.
I can see that. Like when Scott Bakula, Gus, right? Well, he's like, God, if you're listening, just send me a robot player. And if you can't do that, just strike me dead right now. And then he gets hit with the ball and it's knocked out. And he wakes up and it's Serrano, right?
Yeah.
Because I forgot how they brought these characters in. Like, honestly, they would have made more sense. Honestly, yeah, it would have made more sense if it were still the Indians, right? Mm-hmm. And they were just hanging around older, playing in the Indians minor league. And Roger Dorn and them were friends. And that's why he gave them jobs, like Serrano and Tanaka or whatever. But they just, they show up, like, at a putt-putt place. They're driving by. It's like, oh, it's Tanaka's place. I never liked him in the other movie either. Like, why are you back? I don't like you.
Did you like him in this one when he pretended the baseball bat was a samurai sword?
Whatever. But Serrano, I mean, he's probably my favorite character in all these, you know. So it was good to see him again. It's just kind of odd that, like, you guys are just playing for the...
Now you're just playing for the minors.
Yeah.
Drive by and you're like, fine, join my team.
That happens though, right? Because players like minors are full of like young players who are just coming up, older players who were kind of past their prime but still hanging around, like filling in roster spots, right? And then a bunch of people who are just like, just not quite good enough to make it to the major leagues. That's who's in the minor leagues. So that made sense. And speaking of too old, right? You know, like I said, like the Pops character, right? I was like, who is this guy? He looks familiar. He played Michael Jordan's dad in Space Jam.
Okay.
He was James Jordan in Space Jam. So the late 90s were a great sports movie time for that guy. So
didn't we just cover a franchise with him in it?
Oh, I don't think so.
I seem to remember him like playing a cop or something. I don't know. Maybe I just watched it on my own or something.
Unless he was in Scream or something, but I don't know. I don't think he was.
I think he was playing a cop and in some movie that I should look him up while we're talking here.
Sure, yeah, look him up. Try to figure that out.
I loved his story though too. Right?
Oh, right.
How he's like, I almost got there. You know, I almost played a big league game, and I got this. I was in the plane, and it snowed, and the plane had to turn around, and the next day the snow was gone, but the player was back. Oh, it was in Too Fast, Too Furious. He was in Too Fast, Too Furious. I just looked it up.
You know what else he was in, Brandon? I just looked up too. He was in Steel, the Shaquille O'Neal Superman spinoff. He was a cop in that. Late 90s was a great time for Tom Berry is his name. Tom with an H. So shout out to Tom Berry. You're right. That was a very heartwarming story. And you know,
and
the more we're talking about this, the more I'm liking it. So good job. Keep it up.
Yeah. And then at the end, when he's like, man, I just got to play a game against the Minnesota Twins in a major league game that made the whole 20 years worth it, he says. That story touched me.
You know, here's a hot take. this might have been a better movie and better received if it were just its own thing and not part of Major League. What do you think?
Probably. I think that it had the baggage of the name. It's like Halloween 3.
There it
Halloween
is.
Halloween 3 is not a bad movie. Okay? It's just not Halloween 1 and 2. Okay? But Halloween 2 is good and Major League 2 is not. Okay?
Yes, so, that is true. So,
you know. But yeah, that guy's name pops. I loved his story. It was a touching story. So, I don't know. That worked for me.
Yeah. Man. I don't know if I'm going to completely turn around on it, but I'm seeing a lot of the pluses here.
A lot of the positive stuff?
You know, I think, you know what? Roger Dorn and Corbin Burnson, he didn't have much to do in the last movie, honestly. He had more to do here. He was at least in more scenes, and I like him. Mm-hmm. Not just because he was in Star Trek for 5 minutes in one episode, but... I liked it when the other manager like gets mad and destroys his TV. He's like, yes. You just bought yourself a $1,200 television. I'm like, wow, that's how much those TVs were back then?
Back then. My 75-inch TV that I just bought was like $1,200.
I know, right? But that was like a standard def 20-inch television from 1998. But anyway, it was some funny stuff with him. And I also like the gag where he has that painting of himself in his owner's box. And Scott Bakula's wife is like, oh, it's great.
I like it. Just kind of staring at him. And
so, there were some good guys. Also, you know what? No recasting, right? It's not like they, oh, no, we can't get Dennis Haysbert back. Let's recast Pedro Serrano. They were like, no. If the people that can come back can come back. And we didn't recast Charlie Sheen, right? We didn't recast these people, have them hanging around, right? So I'm glad that alone is like, okay, thank you for not doing that.
So the announcer guy. So how is this guy now announcing for the minor leagues? Is he demoted too?
I guess so.
I don't know.
He was. You know what? And even then, he was like, "Hey, been a long time, huh?" When they go up to the new stadium, I'm like, "Yeah, what did you get demoted for, man?" that's not really how that stuff works. He just happened to. Now announcers get fired and new jobs all the time, so it's not like unbelievable or something. But it's just odd that like he was the broadcaster for the Cleveland Indians, and now he's like. And this minor league organization. Although, honestly, like, I didn't like him as much in this one as the other two. Like, his whole rivalry with the other announcer guy, that's not how it works. Like, you don't sit next to the other broadcaster in your booth. Because clearly he was the Buzz guy.
Yeah.
And that other guy was the Twins guy.
Yeah.
You don't sit there, like, and go back and forth. Or maybe they did. Maybe they did because they were the same organization. I don't know. Yep. But... like him, like knocking stuff over and ruining the guy's score sheet. I'm like, and I'm just being a dick, you know. I thought
some of that stuff was funny though, right? Where you know, like at the beginning, he was, you know, just talking about how he was like a drunk and whatnot, and
but that was accurate.
Yes,
picked the wrong decade to quit drinking. So I don't know. I thought he was just perfect in the first two, and this one, I'm like, I didn't like him as, but it was good to see him. You know, I didn't like his material as much this time around. But again. This movie might have been better off without any of those characters in it.
Mm-hmm. Could have, yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think that the baggage of having the name of Major League brings an expectation, and when you don't deliver it by having it completely, basically independent from it, then you're going to disappoint the fans by having it too different. Like, you know, Halloween 3, the only connection is number one, showing Halloween on the television. And then number two, it's fans loving the movies and having the connections later on, right? Like in the Halloween Kills, we see the kids wearing the Halloween 3 masks and whatnot, you know, because people appreciate the movie for what it is on its own, disassociated from the baggage of the franchise that it's a part of.
Yeah, like we said with Halloween 3 in that conversation, it was like, if it was called Season of the Witch, people would be like, oh man, you see this cool movie from the 80s? It's weird.
Right.
And this has been called Back to the Minors. It's like, hey, you know the guy from Quantum Leap did a baseball movie? Check it out, right? It's as opposed to like, yeah, it's the Major League, it's the double-edged sword of having it attached, absolutely. But a couple odds and ends, though, Brandon. Then you mentioned to me, when you're watching it, you actually messaged me, you're like, is there a reason that they use a green screen for this one shot?
Yeah, I wrote it down here, and I messaged you. Let me just pull up the message I sent, because it had the timestamp. So if you guys are watching the movie, I said, at 54 minutes and 34 seconds, what the hell is up with this shot? Why the hell is this a green screen shot of Tanaka on the field?
And my only guess is that they forgot to film that, right? and they just had to, it was better for them to superimpose him in front of a background.
Yeah.
Then either get the or it was just cheaper to like, oh man, we got to set this camera up in the outfield and like, you know what, let's just film from a green screen and just film a plate. I'm like, wow. And is
that was a bad shot.
I feel like I would have noticed it, but especially when she messaged me about it, I kept an eye out for it and I was like, wow, he's right. That is so strange.
Did some of the shots, like, so they had some great angles of like the action of the baseball in this, and there was a couple of hits that looked like the ball was like a special effect. So that
oh, I definitely felt like the ball was CGI in some of those shots. Yeah.
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 Not necessarily CGI, whatever they would have done at the time.
Yes. Yeah, well, 98, they could have done some CGI for objects like that.
Yeah, maybe. So
no, definitely. You kind of control where the ball went and stuff. So there's some of that going on. Who, you know, another gag that I just didn't like is I didn't, you know, I didn't like the, Carlos, the bad guy on the Twins, he was a little over the top, chasing people around with bats. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then
but it was a good payoff
with him striking out.
Yes, with Lance going up against him and striking him out. I love that.
Well, that's Lance is different, right? He's a position player, right?
Okay, so yeah, he's a different.
And because I got him and Hogg confused as you
Hogg,
just did.
Yes, sorry, Hogg. Yes,
as Hogg is the guy, like the pitcher. I'm like, I don't even know what his deal was. He didn't even have like a deal. He was just a guy, right? It was one pitch basically was his deal. But like, they were two interchangeable blonde guys,
right?
And much like you just did unintentionally, I was like, which one is which? And you know, so when they do the whole Dirty Harry thing, we're like, this is I'm the fastball. Do you feel lucky? I'm like, guys, come on. That joke didn't land with me. It's so I don't like it.
Oh, I like that joke. I don't know. I like that. I thought that was fun. Because he's standing up to him, because the guy's clearly all talk.
Right.
Right? Carlos is
He's not terrible. I mean, he's a good hitter, right?
But good hitter, but his attitude is all a show.
Right.
So, and when he stood up to him finally at the end, because, you know, I don't know, just tied back to the first game, when he tried to throw and hit him, right?
Right.
And
time for a little chin music. So
yeah. Is that they call it when you hit somebody's chin?
Yeah. Music? Yeah, that's what they call it. So, you know. That was fine. I just like those. You know, I do give him credit though. There are more team members here that you know about that exist than some of the other major league movies.
Yes, right. They've all got a little bit of story going on.
Yeah, because like even the Twins, where it's like there's not much to them other than like they fight all the time. And it was kind of a funny solution where he ties them to ropes,
yes.
So they don't keep hitting it. Because yeah, like with shortstop and second base, you know, like hey, if the ball's on this side of second base, you cover it. Or if it's on that side, he covers it. And clearly, they had a problem. You know, but some of these people don't even know how they got into baseball, like the Doc guy. I'm like, what's your deal, man? How do you even get here? Like throwing
up,
50 miles an hour. That was, again, Scott Bakula sells that. So, yeah, I talking to you, I think you've won me over. I like it more now. We can talk about what the ratings are in a second. But I have a question for you first, Brandon. Mm-hmm. What's the home run count of this movie?
Oh, geez. You know what? I was too into the movie. I wasn't even paying attention. There was quite a few, though, right? Because that downtown guy got quite a few. So I'm going to guess close to 20.
You think 20 home runs were hit in this movie?
Yeah. Am I wrong?
Okay. You're very wrong.
Oh, okay.
So the six.
Oh, well, geez.
All of them by downtown except for one by Carlos, the Twins slugger. So that brings us to 26 so far overall. And six in this movie. So
well, it felt like this movie was a home run for me, though.
There it is. Look at you picking up this baseball terminology. See, it was worth it to do this franchise just for that. But Brandon, how many stolen bases would you give Major League Back to the Minors?
Okay, so I'm going to give this a solid 4.
Oof.
Okay, so and I'll put the caveat on that. I gave Major League 1 a 4. But that's because I'm not given halves. I probably would have given it a 3.5. This one I'm given a solid 4. I really enjoyed this movie. Like I said, I laughed more than I laughed in the other two combined. I cared about way more characters in this movie than I did the previous two. And seeing Serrano and Tanaka in this was actually enjoyable callback. It was an enjoyable callback bringing those characters in. I thought this movie had a lot of heart. And I would easily watch this movie again over the other two for sure.
Wow. Well, Brandon, your unique opinions about things never fail to disappoint.
Disappoint.
I wonder how many people, or not disappoint, I should say, but I wonder how many people would feel that way about literally what you're telling me right now, and we'll get into it in the recap, obviously, but like this is your favorite so far of this franchise.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
That's
absolutely
incredible. It is. That's why I like talking to you about these things, Brendan. For me, you know, I was probably sitting at a 2, but this conversation is pushing up to a 2.5 out of 5, which is what I gave Major League 2. And at that point, it's like there are strengths and weaknesses to either. So, you know, just flip a coin at that point. But that's what the next podcast will be about. But yeah, 2.5 out of 5 still amazes for me. This movie had no right to be it's as entertaining as it ended up being. You know, I tell you, man, like Scott Bakula. Right, alone is a huge plus to this.
Yeah.
Just a charming guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I were going to, like, I don't know, if I were going to start a new Star Trek show, I would make him the captain of my show. What do you think?
I love it. It's how could it fail?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, at least 98 episodes.
At least 98. It's good for at least 98 episodes. I agree.
Well, then, okay, so this is an interesting question now, then.
Is this franchise fatigued? What do you think, Zach?
I mean, I'd say yes. Even though, you know what, they broke the mold of like, the team's terrible, we got to get good, or the owner's going to suck. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. New story, good job. But I feel like at this point, let's just walk away from it. I think it's done. What about you?
It's done. I'm going to say no. I would like to see another Scott Bakula movie, and I'd like to see this team next season. I don't know, like, look, I don't know baseball, okay? But it'd be like, is this team possible to become a major league team, right?
No, it does not work that way.
Yes.
But in Europe, soccer leagues and stuff, they do work that way.
Okay.
Like, your worst team in the majors gets, like, kicked down to the minors, and the best team in the minors get... I think that's a very interesting strategy. I don't think it would ever work in the U.S., especially with, like, professional sports, with how basically money and contracts work. That would never happen here. But if Major League 4 took place in some fictional universe where it could happen, maybe, Brandon, get your wish there.
Maybe something like that. But no, you know what? I would like to see another one. I think what I loved so much about this one is there was just so much baseball in this one. You know, and like,
being the baseball fan you are, yes.
I don't watch baseball, but I played baseball, and I loved playing baseball when I did. I don't play it anymore, but when I was a kid, I loved playing baseball. I had a lot of fun with it. And seeing baseball on here, I love... Field of Dreams, like, it's a great movie. I don't watch a lot of baseball movies, but I do like them when I do watch them. So well, some of them anyways, not Major League 2, but anyways, I don't know. No, I'm gonna say no, this is definitely not fatigued. I'd like to see another one at this point. So
all right, there it is.
Excellent. Zach, where can people find you when you're not resting your elbow in a big bucket of ice?
Well, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of Sasquatch, a Bigfoot multimedia podcast. You can find us here at the network at UFP Earth and Sasquatch Pod on Twitter. And of course, I'm the host of Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show. And you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. And Brandon, when you aren't trying to prove to people your hair is not a toupee, where can people find you?
Oh, man, this is how I do it. You see, look at this. I'm just pulling my hair here.
Ha-ha, look at his hair. See that? His hair's sticking up, guys. Let's all laugh at him when he walks back to the dugout.
Hey, that joke, though, was a good follow-up. Hey, he's already got him so angry he's pulling his hair out, right? So, you can find me here on the network with another show called Infinite Diversity, which is all about new Star Trek. And then you can find me over on the Fandom Podcast Network with a show called Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock Podcast, where we cover Hitch's films in chronological order. Thank you so much to Zach Tripp for the wonderful theme music. Thank you to Ken Tripp and Tony Robinson for being executive producers of the network. Thank you so much to David Willett, Casey Pettit, and Nathan Rothacher for being associate producers of the network, and in particular for supporting our show. We do truly appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter at Franchise Fatigue. You can find the network at UFP Earth. You can email us, franchisefatigue@ufp.earth. And yeah, give us a rating and review. Give us a rating review in any of your pod catchers. Well, that's all we got for you this week. Until next week, when we do our Major League recap, followed by our next franchise the week after that. And Zach, would you like to tell them? Would you like to roar as loudly as possible and tell them the gigantic, massive franchise that we're covering next?
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Do
This has been a production of MTMR Media Works.